Today we want to look at this thought. Jesus accepts us just like we are, but he does not leave us just like we are. Can you say? Right. That's the truth. Praise the Lord. Our old man was crucified with him that the body of sin might be done away with. That's a great statement. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Just listen to the word of God. We're not interested in man's opinion. We want to know, especially about this subject, what the word of God really says. The title of the message is Endure to the End. Never give up. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. That means you cannot earn salvation by being good, by going to church, by doing certain things, or helping the food pantry. You must be born again, for by grace, shed blood on Calvary, for by grace are you saved, born again through faith. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. When we're born again, the Lord takes us on as a project, working from the inside out to create in us the character and the behavior and the works that he wants us to perform. We're not saved by keeping rules or rituals. But if we have a new nature, we will have good works. Can you say amen? The fruit of the Spirit, if the Holy Spirit's in you, it automatically starts producing some fruit. If it's in you, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, benevolence, being generous with the food pantry, and faithfulness, and meekness and self-control, the Holy Spirit's working in us right now if we're born again. He that is in us will produce good works. Can you say amen to that? You see, we are his workmanship. He's working to produce good works. Doesn't mean we're perfect, but if you're born again, you're going to start loving people, helping people, and blessing people. The works of the flesh are opposite to the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies. There's quite a list of the works of the flesh. Envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. If you're born again, you will not live like that. You will have some flesh issues, but they won't be a habitual practice of these things. Dr. Adrian Rogers, one of the greatest Baptist preachers, in my opinion, said that when you're born again, you'll change. If you didn't change and take on a new nature and start living differently, living for the Lord, then you weren't saved in the first place. And explain any way you want to, but a born-again person shouldn't be habitually practicing these things. The word is practice. I mean, a Christian might do something that's bad, evil, get tempted and do some things they might regret for the rest of their life, but that's not their lifestyle. That's not the way they're living. And when they do those things, there'll be a conviction in them that draws them to repentance. Somebody say amen. Amen. See, this is what this description here is what our unregenerated human nature looks like before we're born again. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, even sorcery, witchcraft, all those things really are the devil, envy, murders. We get hung up on the big things like, you know, adultery and murder, but it also says envy, you know, and jealousy. I mean, it's got all these things covered, and when we see these things trying to pop up in our lives, we need to take authority over and rebuke them. Some today seem to believe it is okay to continue practicing sin. Well, what if you show up on Judgment Day and find out that's not right? Romans chapter 6, verse 1, what shall we say then? Y'all paying attention? This is some of the best scriptures you'll ever hear in your life on this subject. And God has helped me to lay them out so that hopefully they'll flow easily and be easy to understand. Romans 6, 1. Sometimes I use different translations. Sometimes I read three or four translations for each one of these verses, trying to find the one I think is the closest to the Greek or the Hebrew in case it's the Old Testament. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace shall abound? There's people who say yes, but Paul says, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer that therein? Some teach that all Christians continue in sin because they just can't help it. But Paul says, God forbid. If you're a new creation in Christ Jesus, you need to take some control over yourself. Sin is not like smut that you just rub into it and get it all over you. Sin is basically rebelling against God's law or His word. We can stop rebelling. And if that's what sin is, we can stop rebelling against God and start doing what He says, especially if we're born again and our nature's been changed. As a matter of fact, the Word of God teaches that He changes our heart, programs His word in our heart so that now, by our new nature, we actually want to serve God. We actually want to do what's right. And when we don't, we're disappointed in ourselves. Can you say amen? Amen. And so sin is saying, I know God said it not to do it, but I'm going to do it. And I know God said to do it, but I'm not going to do it. That's what sin is. Amen. Intentional rebellion. And so if you know what sin really is, then you can stop it. And if you don't stop it, you got 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive our sin, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Romans chapter 6, verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him. Now, if that's true, that old nature is dead. Now, the flesh is still there. Spirit man is born of the spirit, but you still live in the flesh, and the flesh still likes ice cream. Still likes stuff. And sometimes you got to say no. And if you're having a weight issue and you walk by the refrigerator and the freezer, the flesh is going to be crying out, give me some ice cream. And you have to say, flesh, you don't need any ice cream. I'm going to give you a bowl of green beans. Romans 6, 6, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with. What does that mean? If it doesn't mean we're changed, what does that mean? Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. As some people, so their nature is so addicted to everything under the sun, they can't change without divine intervention. They make all kind of promises. I'm going to change. I'm not going to do that anymore. But if they're not truly born again, they're probably going to keep right on doing it. Verse 7, for he who has died has been freed from sin. Explain that one. Means what it says. He who has died is set free, really, from the law of sin and death. That old nature, that law of sin and death, has been broken. And now you have to deal with the flesh. That's where sanctification comes in. You still say things and do things that embarrasses you, embarrasses the church, embarrasses the Lord in some cases. And that's where you pray that He will make you His workmanship and He'll begin to change you and me from the inside out. The old man with all of the above sins has been crucified with Christ. Therefore, we're no longer to be controlled by the lust and the works of the flesh. In Romans chapter 6, verse 13, and do not go on presenting members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness. I mean, you can control where your feet take you. You can control what your hands take. You can control, at least to some degree, what your tongue says. And especially with a little sanctification. In verse 14, for sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. If we are crucified with Christ, sin is no longer our master. The old nature is crucified, and we have a new nature. It is like changing the nature of a pig to a sheep. The Bible talks about goats and sheep. I talk about pigs and sheep because I'm no farm boy. And when I got home from school every day, I had to slop, you know, about 15, 20 hogs and a whole bunch of pigs, and to go out to the pig pen and dump slop in the trough, and sometimes be a bucket of food scraps on our back porch. It'd been there for several days. Dump it in the trough, and those pigs jump in the trough, and of course they got mud all over them. They get mud in their food, and yet they're gobbling it down, you know, like they're insane, and they're fighting over it, knocking each other out of the trough, away from the trough. And that's what pigs do. Nobody told them to do that. That's what they do. That's their nature. They love the mud. And we had some big old hogs. My daddy grew the best. And we'd clean them up, take them down to the county fair and win ribbons. And those pigs did not get the message. We got you cleaned up and you want a ribbon, but you're not to get back in the mud. Well, guess what they do? As soon as they get back to the farm and their 4 feet hit the ground, they go straight to the mud. That's who they are. That's what they are. But how do you like bacon? Thank God they cleaned them up before they turn them into bacon. I mean, Americans can eat without bacon. Bacon's got, everything's got bacon on it. You say amen. Every salad, you know, every burger, everything just about got bacon on it. And so we love pigs, don't we? But if you could change that nature of a pig to a sheep, it would never get in the mud. And if it slipped and fell in the mud, it would want to get out and get cleaned up quick. And it would never eat that slop. Why? It's not a pig. A born-again believer is changed. The old nature is dead. The old pig nature, so to speak, is crucified with Christ, your new creation in Him, and your nature is different. And you may do some bad things, but you don't like it if you're born again. And one, Jesus said, you'll know the tree by its fruit. I don't know why people do not read the Bible and live by it. You can know a tree by its fruit. If there's no love there, they're full of the devil and mean as a junkyard dog, they're probably not saved. Amen. Do not go on, Romans 6:3. Do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness. You know, we can make a decision to do things with our hands, our feet, our eyes, our mouth that we know is not right, but we can control that if we're truly born again and believe Him to help us. No one who is born again practices sin. The word is practice. James chapter 1, verse 14. Y'all interested in this? There's a lot of teaching that could send you to a devil's hell if you don't know the truth. You need to know the truth. And where do you find that? In the Bible. And what am I reading? Verses from the Bible. James chapter 1, verse 14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth fruit and bringeth forth sin, and sin when it is finished bringeth forth death. For lust brings forth sin, and sin brings forth death. We must guard ourselves and control the desires by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says we can mortify the deeds of the body. If we're having problems with something, mortify the deeds of the body by the Spirit. How do you do that? You pray until the Holy Spirit puts that thing to death. Mortify means to put to death. The desires of the flesh are not evil if satisfied in a good, godly way. Sex outside of marriage is sin. Sex inside of marriage is not. That's God's way. Can you say amen? But you need to get this. But when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Some people think if they have an immoral thought, that's sin. It's not. That may be an attraction. It may be a lust. It may be something that would lead you to sin when it's conceived. And my favorite example is a watermelon. And we grew a lot of watermelons. We had a mountain there where we grew our watermelons because Daddy grew them so big, we have to roll them off. That was funny. But anyway, it's partly true. We did have a mountain on the farm, and we did grow watermelons on it. But anyway, let's say I went over to, when I was down there just last week, spent some time with Mama, and I was right on what used, well, it used to be the Cardin's farm. And, boy, they grew all kind of stuff. And today, their children and grandchildren have subdivided all up and got houses all over it. Okay. But back then, they grew a lot of stuff. And let's just say I was walking over to Johnny's house and went through Mr. Cardin's watermelon patch, and I saw a beautiful watermelon land there. And I thought, boy, I'd love to have that. And I got to thinking on the way to Johnny's, you know, I think I'll just take that thing when I go back. Well, you see, that desire is conceiving, and it's beginning to produce sin. Because that's not my watermelon. And so I come back, have every intention of taking the watermelon, and it's gone. Mr. Cardin told me to go through his watermelon patch, and so he went and got his prize watermelon. Okay. Did I sin? Yes, because it had conceived. I would have done it if I could have. And so just having the thought, boy, I'd love to have that watermelon, is not sin. No one would ever have buy a watermelon if they... If they didn't desire it. No one would ever get married if it didn't desire sex. Somebody say something. But when you decide to sin and take it the wrong way, do it the wrong way, even if you don't get to do it, it's still sin because you would have if you could have. It's not just a thought. It's more than a thought. It conceives. Is this making any sense? This should be helping a lot of people because some people live in fear of going to hell because they have thoughts. And I've had people tell me, if you have the thought, you just might as well do it. That's insane. If I have a thought of punching you in the nose, is that just as bad as me punching you in the nose? No. See, the devil puts these things in our head. We need to know what this book teaches. It saves us a lot of trouble. Everybody that has any intention of ever being saved needs this message, word for word, just scripture after scripture, just like we have it here. James 1:14, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when the lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin. Romans 8:2, for the law of the Spirit of Christ, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. That all law of sin and death is broken when you're born again. And by God's help, you can start making some big changes. Verse 3, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. The law did not work because the law said don't do it, but it didn't help us not to do it. When Jesus died on that cross, shed his blood to blot out our sins and create a new nature within us, then his grace and his provision enables us to live a godly life. The law couldn't do that because we couldn't keep the law, but if you're born again, you can keep the law because that old law of sin, is this making sense? That old law of sin and death is broken. We are set free from the law of sin and death when we put our faith in the shed blood of Christ. Jesus has made us free, so we no longer are controlled and operated and ruled over by sin. When Satan brings temptation, we now have authority to rebuke him and tell him where to go. Amen. Hebrews 2:14, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself, see, this explains the whole plan of salvation. He himself likewise shared in the same flesh. He had the same flesh that you and I have. He was born of a woman, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. Why is that important? He became a human being so he could take my sins in his body and die in my place, that the law of sin and death might be broken off of me when I put my faith in the shed blood of Calvary. In the name of Jesus. You see, Jesus destroyed the devil's power over us by blotting out our sins. If our sins are blotted out, Satan no longer has authority and power over us. We can now tell him where to go. That's why now when he comes to put strep throat on me, I can say, I'm not your property. I don't belong to you anymore. You take your strep throat and get out. That's where that authority comes from, right there from Calvary. If my sins are blotted out, you see, it opens a door to the devil. When that door is closed, the devil no longer has a legal right to touch you. Just as Adam and Eve, they sin, and when they sin, all the curses came into the garden. There was not any hurricanes, tornadoes, earthquakes, or any thorns and thistles growing in the garden. But when sin came, the curse came with it. Satan brought the curse right into the garden. And the message is, when Jesus Christ blots out your sins, that curse no longer has the right to come. So while it does come, yeah, because you have authority to stop it, and you don't know you do, so you let it go on. I had authority to stop strep throat the day I was born again, but I didn't know it. I had preachers and people tell me, well, this is just life. You know, you just have to take it and accept it, and God is just teaching you something. Just go ahead and suffer with strep throat. Well, that was a problem because I couldn't preach with strep throat. And when God began to show me the curse has been blotted out and you don't longer have to allow strep throat, I began to take authority over it. And I haven't missed preaching for 45 years due to sickness. To some of you, that's not good news. 1 John 3:9, because you're thinking, Lord, let him be sick next week. 1 John 3:9, no one who is born of God practices sin. How plain can anything be? In other words, practice. If you claim to be perfect, then you're a liar, and therefore you're not perfect. 1 John 3:9, no one who is born of God practices sin, practices rebellion against God and his word, because his seed abides in him. What's the seed? Jesus Christ. He that's in me is greater than he that's in the world. He cannot sin or practice sins, what it means, because he's born of God. No one who's born of God practices sin because his seed abides in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. The born-again believer cannot continue to sin because Jesus lives in him, keeping him from sin. You might sin, but there's something inside yelling, this is wrong, stop it, stop it, stop it. Verse 10, by this, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. You see, we are either the children of God or the children of the devil. That's what it means. The children of God love each other and practice righteousness. We know, Jesus said, you know them by their fruit. If they're born again believers, there's going to be a little bit of love there somewhere and a little bit of self-concern. After all, that one commandment includes all the law, love thy neighbor as thyself. You're not going to steal from your neighbor, not going to lie to your neighbor, not going to commit adultery with your neighbor's wife or husband if you have the love of God in you for people. James said, a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. Now, that kind of blows your mind, but listen, faith without works is dead. If you have true salvation faith, true faith in the promises of God, it's going to produce some evidence, some works. James chapter 2, verse 18, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one, you do well. The demons also believe and shudder. Just believing in God doesn't get it. Can you say amen? You must be born again. Our faith is revealed by what we do. Verse 21, was you're not saved by works, but your works reveal who you really are. If you really love people, you're born again. If you're full of the devil and don't love people, trying to cheat and lie to people, you're not born again. You're not saved by works, but if you're born again, it produces good. Your salvation produces good works. Does this make any sense? Verse 21, was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, on the altar? You see, his faith was revealed by what he did. He did what he did because he trusted the Lord and did what the Lord told him to do. Verse 24, you see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. Justified by works. That doesn't mean you're saved by works, but it means if you're saved, you're going to produce good works. If you produce evidence, you know, a tree by its fruit, there's going to be some fruit there. If a man is born again on the inside, it will show on the outside. That's what it means. In the same way, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works, that when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? See, because Rahab believed in God, and she confessed that she believed in God to these spies, and because Rahab believed in God, put her faith in God, she protected the God's spies. You see, you can see that she had put her faith in God because of what she did. She hid them knowing it cost her life. You see, her works became evidence of her faith. 1 Timothy 4:1, the Spirit clearly says that in latter times some will apostate the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. You see, humanists work on us to deceive us and to cause us and our children to abandon the faith. We do not lose our faith, but this says we can't abandon our faith, or the word here is apostate. We can't apostate and turn away from our faith if we allow ourselves to get weak. That's why it's so important for us to stay read up, fasted up, churched up. Can you say amen? And stay strong. Well, I can make it. I don't have to go to church. I don't have to read the Bible. I don't have to pray. If you get really weak, you might wind up doing some things you wished you hadn't done. We must live by faith as long as we live. Never cast away your confidence or faith. I made a commitment. I'm going to serve you. After I rededicated my life to the Lord at 15, I got down by the bedside and I said, I'm going to live for you and serve you the rest of my life if it kills me. And you make a commitment like that, you're good. Amen. Can you say amen? That you need to make that commitment. I am not, the Bible says, the just shall live by faith. How long? 15 minutes, 15 days, 15 years? No, you live by faith your whole life. You endure it to the end. You maintain that faith to the end. And why not live that way? That's the best way to live. Every one of us need to make that commitment and remake it. In some cases, you know, I'm going to serve you, Lord, if it kills me. The early church believed in apostasy. Early church believed in apostasy all the way up to John Calvin. That's when it changed. The early church believed you could renounce your faith. You don't lose it. You don't just slip up and say a little bad word and you lose your salvation. But they believed you could renounce it. And the Roman soldiers believed they could renounce it. And before they would kill a Christian, they give them a chance to renounce their salvation and renounce Christ. And if they did, they considered them not to be a Christian anymore. And they let them go. And the church considered them not to be a Christian anymore. You can believe anything you want to believe, but I'm going to believe the Bible. And if I need an example, I'm going to go to the early church and not to the modern church. And remember, I grew up Baptist, and a lot of me is still Baptist. But I'm like Adrian Rogers. I don't believe you can be born again and practice sin. Amen. There's got to be a change. Whatever you believe about apostasy, you got to believe that much. If you're born again, you're a new creation in Christ, you're not a pig anymore. You're not perfect. The sheep might slip up and fall in the mud, but it's not going to like it. Amen. Listen to this, Ezekiel 18:24. And when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness, listen to this. And when a righteous man, how many glad you got a pastor that reads the Bible? Yay. But when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity and does according to all the abominations that the wicked man does, shall he live? In other words, he didn't just commit a sin. He lives that way. He practices that lifestyle. He says, all the righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered. It's been there all the time. All the righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered because of the unfaithfulness of which he is guilty and the sin which he has committed. Because of them he shall die. If a righteous man turns away from the Lord, his commandments, and lives a wicked life, this says, all the righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered. You see, Jesus actually said that in the judgment, many will say that they prophesied, cast out demons, and performed miracles in his name, but he'll say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Could Jesus have had Ezekiel 8:24 in mind when he said this? Never depart from the Lord. This is a good advice. Stay true to him no matter what. Fast, pray, stay read up and churched up. Stay close to the heart of God. And it says, all the righteous which he has done shall not be remembered. And Jesus said, when they say they've done all these good things, I don't remember any of it. Why? They apostated and turned back to sin. And you say, why is that important? Be sure you don't do that. I have eternal security. I'm on my way to heaven. I've made my commitment to the Lord, and that's it. As far as I'm concerned, that's it. But I know I can't turn around and go rob banks and hang out with prostitutes. Oh, I can't do that. And by the way, don't want to do it. He that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. I didn't make up any of this. It's been in your Bible all the time. Well, I never heard anything like this. Well, it's time you heard it. Matthew 24:12, and because iniquity shall abound, and some of you believe exactly what I'm saying. You just don't know why you believe it. I'm telling you why you believe it. These verses. Matthew 24:12. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. He that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. Salvation really, in the Greek, really means a process. You're being saved. You're born of the Spirit, but you endure to the end, and you live by faith your whole life, and then you're saved when you step into heaven. So literally, we're not saved yet. We're saved when we stand in heaven. Can you say amen? But if you're born of the Spirit and you live by faith, you'll find yourself standing in heaven. Amen. Then you're saved, and nothing else can touch you. Can you say amen? Amen. And then I'm just reading it to you. Jesus himself said from his own lips, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved in the end. I didn't say that, but I read it. Can you say amen? Hebrews 3:12. Take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away. And that's that word apostate again in the Greek. That apostates from the living God. Why would it make statements like that if it's totally impossible for us to rebel against God and apostate and renounce God? You say, why in the world anyone do that? I don't know, but I want to make sure I don't do it. Okay. How about you? Amen. Well, how can I be sure? Well, you pray. You do the word. You don't take anything for granted. You pray every day. You meditate on God's word every day. You go to church every chance you get. Amen. And if you can't get there, live stream it. Amen. Radio it. web page it, podcast it, okay, get it on podcast, keep the word coming in, keep yourself strong. Hebrews 3:12, take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away. Why would he even say that if it was totally impossible? A heart that falls away, apostates from the living God. Verse 14, for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. There you have it. Walk in faith your whole life. And you maintain your faith in Jesus Christ and his word your whole life. You don't let the secular humanist Marxists convince you don't need God. And you sure don't let them convince you there is no God. And you say, what's the danger here? The danger is they're trying to convince your children right now. that there is no God, there is no accountability, and everything's going to work out just fine. No, judgment day is coming for every one of us, and we're going to stand before God. And if we're not born again, we got a problem that can't be fixed. And so this message needs to be taught so our children will know, our kids will know. You need to serve God. If we hold fast the beginning of our assurance until the end. If we hold fast the beginning of our assurance, that no-so revelation that we're born again, you maintain that faith until the very end, that commitment I made, I'm going to serve you if it kills me, that's still where I stand right now. Amen. There's a few times I felt like it might kill me, but that's okay. You can't threaten me with heaven, can you say amen? If it kills me, I'll be a lot better off than I am now. Hold your faith or assurance fast until the end. Okay. Hebrews 10:35, therefore, do not cast away your confidence. There you have it. Do not cast away your confidence, your faith in Jesus Christ. And this applies to all faith. If you feel like God has healed you, you don't throw it away because you feel sick. You still believe you're healed. You may have to battle something, but you're standing in faith, you're rebuking the devil, because you have that word from God in you that you're healed. Y'all pay attention. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence. This is really talking about salvation. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. This says, do not cast away your confidence, your faith, but endure until you receive the promise. I'm born again. I think I've got that one nailed down, but I'm believing God for health and healing and victory over strep throat, believing God to work miracles in many of you and others, and I'm still standing in faith that God is doing it and working it right now. So that's the way faith works. You get it in you. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. How many of you have a substance and evidence and know so in you, you're saved? How many of you have a substance and evidence in you that God is healing you? How many have a substance evidence in you that God is going to prosper you and bless your job, your career? You have that. How many have that confidence in you? You're going to, God's going to help you with your family and your children. You see, you get that no-so in you. It's faith, and you never cast it away. We fix our eye not on what is seen, but what is unseen. You say, well, I don't always act. Say, well, join the club. Sometimes I'm in traffic and I act saved. Sometimes the devil just takes over. And you got to cast him out. You get out of this car. You see, we must believe his promises until we receive them. Amen. 1 John 5:11. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. You say, once you have eternal life, how can you get rid of it? Look at this. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Verse 12, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. No one has eternal life that does not have the Son. Eternal life is in the Son. If you're living by faith in the Son of God, you have eternal life, and if not, you don't. I just read it. You see, make sure he lives in you. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in the Son. He who has the Son of God, let me know that Jesus lives in you right now. You got eternal life. And see, the devil tried to talk you out of it. Well, you're not even saved. That's another reason you need to know these scriptures. He'll say, you're not even saved. Well, yes, you are. There's fruit in your life. Amen. There's fruit in your life. You may be perfect, but you love people. You try to help people. And you really make an all-out effort not to hurt anybody ever and to help. I mean, that is fruit that the Holy Spirit's in you. And so we all need to have that assurance, because that spirit of condemnation is chased off when you know these verses. You know, I've been redeemed, born again. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Don't always act like it, but I am anyway. That faith is still in me, and I'm not going to cast away because I don't always act right. Amen. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. No one has eternal life that does not have the Son. Jesus accepts us just like we are, but he does not leave us just like we are. Our old man, and you got to love everybody else just like they are too. Amen. That goes for everybody. Some people hate gays and transgender and drunks and people they don't agree with. You got to love everybody. Amen. It doesn't mean you get into their lifestyle, but you love them. Our old man was crucified with him that the body of sin might be done away with. No one who is born of God habitually, intentionally practices sin because his seed abides in him and he cannot sin because he doesn't like it anymore. And that's Holy Spirit in him, the Son of God in him is convicting him. James said, a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. You see, our faith is revealed by what we do and by the fruit we bear. He that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. John 3:16. Can you say amen? For God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's all stand.